Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our post-draft second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. You hear Grant in the background. Always perfect attendance for Grant. So we hit the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on it until 8 o'clock tonight. We'll have Archie Manning on with us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have Scott Shanley on with us in the 7 o'clock hour going over the NFL draft. And certainly Archie, really familiar with Tyler Shuck. He came to Manning twice. I do remember the first time he came. He was with Texas Tech and then came back. We'll have Archie to talk about Tyler Shuck and also some of the other quarterbacks selected, and Cam Ward being one of them. Cam came to Manning also. He was at Washington State. So we'll get Archie's take on that. And a little after 6 o'clock tonight, we'll have one with his former Major League Baseball pitcher Scott Sanders to talk about the LSU Fighting Tigers. And Bob, that was big. You win 2 out of 3 against Tennessee. And these two teams, man, they hate one another. Ain't no dislike. It's a hate for one another. But well, you come out winning 2 of 3 games against the Volunteers, and yesterday a 10-run rule game.
Yeah, well, the Tennessee coach, he's viewed as arrogant. I mean, but I don't know.
He's Steve Spurrier of college baseball.
I mean, but
he ain't arrogant if
you're a Tennessee Volunteer fan, you love him.
Yeah.
You know, look what he's done for that program. So, yeah, but it just shows you the competitive nature of the SEC. And LSU bouncing back, getting 10-run ruled just a few days before that by Northwestern State. They didn't just lose. You got 10-run ruled, and then you handle that adversity. And, Mike, it's monumental to me right now to keep the momentum rolling in the SEC that you don't just win a game, but you win the series. Now, it's hard to sweep an opponent, but win 2 out of 3, so that bode well for LSU going forward by winning 2 out of 3 against the Volunteers.
Bob, we heard today Derek Carr spoke at his church and spoke about his adversity, and one of the things he brought up we didn't know about. Him and his wife had a miscarriage, and certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to the Carr family for that. And it's a situation that it's certainly a delicate spot for that. And again, man, our heart and prayers go out to him and his wife to lose a child.
Right.
And he spoke for the first time about some of the things that were happening kind of from a football term also. So I'll throw it to you on that.
Even though we drafted Tyler Shuck, and you look at the quarterback room, Mickey Loomis has said this, and I've said this, that if Derek Carr is healthy, if he's healthy, he's a starting quarterback this year. Nothing against Tyler Shuck and all that. Now, if he's not healthy, I think made a best man win. I think it's more Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler, and we got to wait and see what would happen. But you still could be trending in the right direction. And the Saints, when you think about this, they won 5 games. Let's say they win 3 more and we're 8-9. Don't you? Well, I'd say we're trending in the right direction, but what is that? Then you're not in the postseason. And who knows, they might draft a quarterback again next year. I mean, you got to get that position right. You know, you get Spall with Drew Brees and the stability there. But you just don't know. You got to let it play itself out. That's why I'm intrigued. You look at the OTAs and you look at minicamp. They're not going to give it to Tyler Shuck just because where he was drafted. No, he's going to have to beat out Spencer Rattler. All I know is right now, who we perceive as healthy, you take out Derek Carr, has any of those cats won an NFL game?
No.
So, I mean, so that's why we got to slow our roll and our expectations. What I like is how we kept our draft picks because we're getting younger. And if you look at the number of players that I think, that's why it might always look like day one and all that. You can look at day two and Vernon Broughton because we got to stop the run. We got to get big in the middle. But I look at like Danny Stutzman, that's a linebacker, Oklahoma. I think how he's going to contribute. I think I look at Quincy Riley, potential nickel corner, just the cornerback position. Come on, all of a sudden we went from a strength to a weakness because you don't have the experience of Lattimore. We traded him to Washington, and then Paulson Adebo signs with the Giants. So we're counting on the likes of like a Quincy Riley. So you go on, and then I look at even Devin Neal. Okay, can Devin Neal give some relief when you look at it? Come on. Alvin Kamara, he has a lot of wear and tear. Alvin Kamara still thinks at a high level. But Devin Neal, can he be that 1-2 punch? Because Kendra Miller, can we count on him? He don't play. Kendra Miller's like the B.I. How B.I. was with the Pelicans. I mean, I don't know. He wants to play kind of. I don't know how you measure someone's heart. Kendra Miller has a lot to prove. I think we got the right running back coach to try and motivate Kendra Miller. But Devin Neal is saying, man, I don't know who Kendra Miller is. I'm going to come in here and try to be part of that rotation, be part of that 1-2 punch.
Bob, the other thing is, not only Kendra Miller, but what are you going to get from Nick Saldiveri? Because I think this team wanted to kind of hand him that left guard spot.
Right.
And he can't stay healthy either.
No, that's like made a best man win. All I know is, you think Saints fans care who's playing on the offensive line? Hell no. They just want the five best players. So right now, it's still the jury's out who's going to be the left guard. Now, with that being said, if they think Trevor Penning can work out at right tackle and Fuaga could stay at left tackle, people might not necessarily agree with this, but they're not necessarily going against Kelvin Banks being the left guard short term. I think he's more a tackle. In theory, you would say I would put Kelvin Banks at left tackle and put Fuaga at right tackle.
Bingo.
Because that's his wheelhouse. And then Penning, like Andrew Speed, go play left guard. And go, yeah, make it up. That doesn't mean you're starting. You got to go win the job. And it'd be a lot of competition at that left guard. You got to get the five best linemen on the field. And when the Saints have rolled, this is Drew Brees. And remember, I would tell you less of Drew is more. Because when the offense is kicking ass and we were a top three offensive line, the Saints are always in the hunt. We were always in the hunt. Then you piecemeal the skilled players and what comes about.
Doesn't it seem like so far away when you had Teron Armstead at left tackle, Ryan Ramczyk on the right side?
Like
the
dominant.
We didn't know how good you had it.
No, you get spoiled. You get spoiled. Come on, you think every team has that. No, that's what every team wants. So I think the Saints look at that formula. We're trying to get back to that. And I think Coach Moore is the same way. Coach Moore said, and I agree with this. Maybe I'm old school, whatever. But I still think, and whatever you do for me lately, there's proof in the pudding with the Eagles. It made Jalen Hurts a better quarterback because he had Saquon Barkley. I mean, just look at the Eagles. That's what I was saying. If we get off to a slow start in September, you know what Saints fans are going to say? Oh, Kellen Moore, he can't coach. What are you talking about? We got the right coach. He's the youngest NFL coach. We got the right coach. You got the players. That's why when we signed Kellen Moore, I said, can we bring the Eagles offensive line with the Saints? Can they come over? Because I even told McCoy, he was there. We were doing the opening the draft. And I said, as great as Eric McCoy is for the Saints, our best offensive lineman who plays center would not start off at center at the Eagles. He'd be the right guard. Now, you could play center, guard, center, but he'd be the only one that would have started off for the Eagles. So it's very humbling, but you have to understand where you're at as a team, and you build upon that. Listen, I hope Chris Olave is ready to play. He's our number one. With the Eagles, he'd have been the number three receiver. Now, I hope hopefully he can take a hit. He doesn't knock himself out, whatever. But still, receiver, who are we counting on? I don't know. Maybe you could name one or two guys like a big receiver. Bub Means? Saints fans are like, Bub Means, he didn't even play a month. Well, what did he play, two games coming out of Pitt? So, no, when you look at the weapons and how you're trying to attack defenses and all that, that all comes into play. I'm just telling you, Alvin Kamara, like at running back, is the least of my worries. Now, if you could have got Jente at number 9, he went to the Raiders. I don't like that 1-2 punch with Jente and Alvin Kamara because I think he's going to be special. Now, we got to wait and see what he's going to do. Look who drafted him with the Raiders with Jente.
Pete Carroll.
Going back, I think USC success and Seattle Seahawks, When he had...
he smoked Marshawn Lynch.
But when he had with the USC, he had Reggie Bush and...
Lindell White.
And Lindell White. Oh, look at that 1-2 punch. And then he had Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch. So all of a sudden, he looks at Gente. Oh, that could... You know what could happen at times? That's why Alvin Kamara comes into this. That's why Neil could come into this. You know, can you get a first down? Even though it might be 3rd and 3, you say, well, you got to pass. No, how about it? If you can get 3rd and 3 and you still can run the ball and get a first down. You know what's awesome about having a running game like that? That's your defense's best friend. And all of a sudden, you know, oh, they're well rested and you're still moving the chains. And that's how Pete Carroll had the success. If you look at USC and the Seahawks, and look at the Raiders. You're playing the likes of the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes. You're playing Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
Are you playing a young Bo Nix and what Peyton is going to roll out?
That's what I'm saying. So that might be – keep the ball out of their hands. They can't score if they don't have the ball, right? So I think that's the approach they took.
Going back to what Derek Carr said, and he talked about the personal tragedy with him and his wife and losing a child. He also said the fact he wasn't sure about if he could play this year because of the shoulder.
Well, we can't play next year. He's going pecan. The Saints just got to eat that money. No, Derek Carr is 2025. It's not 2026. And we've all had this. You might have a loved one, a family member, that's had a miscarriage and you've lost a child and the expectations there. No, it's heartfelt. But let me tell you, football fans are brutal. Even though you're dealing with all that, they want you to compartmentalize that. They think like you're like a robot and that you're not a human. I'm just telling you how fans think. They don't look at that. They go, oh, you had that adversity. But they think you're different. But he has the human emotions, and so... that's why we didn't know. I'm glad Derek Carr came out with that because we realized what he was dealing with. Derek Carr is a good guy. But you know what Derek Carr has to do in a Saints uniform? You can't be a 500 quarterback. If Derek Carr wins, the Saints fans would embrace him. But the only thing I say with that, you might not like Derek Carr, but how many games we won without Derek Carr? None. So, I don't know what that means. Look, there's not enough quarterbacks to go around. But I kind of agree with Mickey there. Because these young cats haven't done anything yet. Unless Derek Carr is hurt. If Derek Carr is healthy, he's the starting quarterback day one. Now, I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. But right now, we don't know. That's where we're at.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to the Bottle Man. Bottle Man, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Who that? How you doing, Mike? How you doing, Bobby? How you doing, WWL? How you doing,
Bottle Man?
Bottle Man.
Great. The ones that living and the ones that gone, we leave them singing the choir till we get there. But I tell you one thing, I'm not trying to shine. We got some gumbo now for real.
So you like our draft, Bottle Man? We're building something. Is that what you think? We're building something for the future or what?
Hey, we are the future with the team that we have right now. If you ever notice, when you have leaders coming from high school to college and coming to pros, so they've been Indians, now they know how to be chiefs. We have a mature draft from the quarterback all the way down to the last to Zach Sanford. We got gumbo now.
Well, I can tell you, Bottom Man, that you know what I appreciate, and the Saints do this. When you talk about character, because it is this day and age on and off the field. And, Mike, we talked about this. We had Rouse's yesterday at Power Boulevard, on Saturday to finish the draft. It's amazing that, it's not bad being a team captain. You know, if you on your college team and you perceived as a leader and your peers and the coaching staff, they trust you and they nominate you as a team captain, that's a great thing. Because I don't care what position you played, Mike, all the look at Saints players. Oh, well, what do they have on their resume? They were a team captain. They were a team captain.
And look at Diggs.
That means they're awesome in the locker room.
The seventh round pick, he was a team captain at A&M and a team captain at Syracuse.
Whoa, and think about you going from Texas A&M to Syracuse, and then we're going to make you a team captain. Because that means he's a positive influence in the locker room, and you won that. You don't want no jive ass, do whatever. It's me against the world and all that. That's the Saints approach. I'm not saying a jive-ass dude can't work, but the jive-ass dude got to be unbelievable. It has to be like they're so good it doesn't matter. Like Deion Sanders could do what the hell he wanted, but there's few in the world that has ever been at that level. Andre Rison was a gangster, but he was so damn good that you put up with it. I'm telling you, there ain't too many cats like that. So to me, if you want to be gangster and you can't play, man, you're hurting yourself. You're going to be in the real world before you know it. You have to be an unbelievable stud and can be on the edge. But you have to be awesome. And then you kind of put up with it, or you get some mentor to them to kind of help them out. And then you go from there. But if you think just because, and you know it's different because back in the day, and the players I've been associated with this that were on the edge, and thank God for football, but in this day and age with social media and all that, you're going to get exploited. It's going to be exploited, and then it's going to be a negative instead of a positive. Now, you might be cool with the peers, people your age, but you know what? The people your age, they ain't making the damn decisions. They ain't making the damn decision, so then it just ends up hurting you. You have to be almost mature beyond your years and understanding how when you're doing an interview, it's a job interview. And what you're doing going forward. Now, you might be a wolf in sheep's clothing and try and BS an organization. Maybe you could pull that off. I'm sure some individuals can. But you can't be like if this doesn't happen to me, then I'm blowing you off. You got to be humble. You know, that's one thing, even though society has changed, 20th century, 21st century, I still think deep down we like humble people. We like humble people like a Dalton Hilliard, who would score a touchdown. I don't know, he just passed the ball to the official. You don't do some new dance or whatever.
Did you ever play with anybody who talked less than Dalton? Because Dalton don't say hardly anything.
Dalton let his play do the talking. And he didn't have to talk. And a lot of these young players, but they want to get how many likes I'm going to get on social media and all that. How many hits and all that. But if you worried about yourself and your family and all that, it's very, very humbling. Again, I'm not saying you could be out there and not have success and burn the candles at both ends as far as being extreme. But you got to be so damn good. Look at Cam Ward, the quarterback. Look how he interviewed and all that. When he outstanding citizen in every regard. Now,
have you ever seen the first overall pick in the draft? He just got tsunamied by a guy that went in the fifth round in Shedeur Sanders. If you're talking about the amount of talk about him.
Because that's all that damn, that's all that TikTok and all that stuff and all that. That don't mean nothing. You got to look who's in charge, who's going to pay you. Come on, you got to have common sense. Who's going to reward you financially? No, it'd be better if Shedeur Sanders would have stayed at Colorado and go to the NFL. He'd make more money. No, it's crazy how it is different. It's a different world. But you have to have a mentor. And all of a sudden, where you're at in your situation, where they're going to give you advice, and you got to reel it in. You got to reel it in. There's nothing wrong with getting all the players hyped in the locker room and all that. But as far as that exposure and all that and social media, I still, the NFL owners are still, and people in charge, they're still old school enough that they don't care about that stuff.
To me, look at the age of these owners, too.
They look at that as disruptive.
Yes. Bob, think about in the last 24, 36 hours, what's dominated a lot of sports talk?
Oh, where Shedeur Sanders was drafted.
Not only that, Bill Belichick's interview on Sunday morning, CBS, and have his young girlfriend, fiance, whatever she the connection is, kind of saying, well, we won't answer that question. We won't answer this. And that's that sort of has dominated.
Well, and listen, Bill Belichick's old school, but the reason why I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it.
She's basically his PR guy. And she's kind of in tune maybe with the younger generation in his college football. It's not the pros. So that's why Bill will listen to her. So when she came out, that didn't surprise me that happened because she's hanging out at practice. She is like his manager and public relations person. So what in this day and age, how you want to last? And now, look, Bill Belichick's an old man coaching college football. So how can you relate to that younger generation? So I think it recruits and all that. And so that's why I think I don't have a problem with what she did. Because, and Bill doesn't have a problem because Bill is trying to go from decade to decade to decade. All I know is what he did with the Patriots in the 21st century, that's hard to match.
Bob, think about in today's world of social media. They're so concerned about other people's social interaction. Man, my thing is, okay, all that's great and fine, but, man, solve your own issues before you start criticizing what other people are doing away from the game.
Well, what I want to do is have a lot of success in the NFL and don't even have to do social media and you're still going to get paid. Now, if you can't play, maybe you need to get all that record. You got to get all these followers, on social media and all that helps you. To be compensated because the advertising dollars that come about with that. But if you can freaking play, man, all you got to do is play. You ain't got to worry about all that other stuff because you're that elite. Now, Shedeur, I don't think was that elite. He holds the ball too much, too long, took too many sacks. You can't go backwards in the NFL, but he was very accurate as a passer. But that's another story. He'll have a chance at Cleveland. Let him go and compete. But why did they draft the Oregon quarterback, Dylan? Well, why did they draft him before him? You know what? To me, that's an owner's pick. The owner wants you to do it. The Browns might have the worst owner in the NFL.
I agree. I think
he gets too involved. He has no clue what he's doing.
We'll be back with more. Second guest, Big John, hang on. We'll go to you right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Here on the second guest show, it's our post-draft second guest show. Mike D'Antilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big John. Big John, you're in the huddle with Mike and Bobby.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good to talk to y'all again. It was good to see y'all on Friday night for the second night of the draft. Look, the biggest, most overhyped crapshoot in the history of all sports has to be the NFL draft. And now that it's over, we can actually start thinking about, the schedule when it comes out in May and then training camp in July. Let me start by saying congratulations to Jack Besh on his selection by the Raiders. That is one of the really feel good stories coming out of this weekend, and I wish that young man nothing but the best, and I hope he carries his spirit and the spirit of his late brother with him to infect a very moribund Raiders franchise. On the other side, the negative side of the draft, the son of an Atlanta coach prank calling Shedeur Sanders, that probably has to be the most Falcons thing the Falcons could ever Falcons. I mean, only Atlanta would pull off something like that, and that is just some seriously low class. I hope the NFL looks into this even further.
Dad's fault, Big John, that's not the dad's fault. That's his son, and you might say, well, he's a kid. I don't know. You're 21 years of age. You got to be responsible.
No, you're a grown man.
You got to be responsible for your actions.
Well, drink.
And then all of a sudden, he gets the number and dad's computer, whatever it might be. And that, if I'm that dad, and I know my dad would have probably whipped my ass. Well, what in the hell are you doing? Because you know what? Now you're touching our family's money. You're touching my money. in my future.
In my reputation.
And I'm an NFL player. I know what it takes. But that's a childish act, so it shouldn't be. But you know what? He probably, that's going to go viral. Oh, let me do this. This is going to go viral. Everybody wants to be viral. Viral. Right. It sounds like a damn virus or something. Well, why would you want to have a virus?
And have somebody film it.
Yeah, you know, no.
Come on. You're a grown man, and you should be accountable for your actions if you pull that
off. Yeah, and the Falcons going to get the blame because it's a bad light, because you like to look at the sources where it comes from. That's just a very, very immature act.
Yeah. Listen, guys, there was this is for the immediate gratification crowd out there, but, you know, you got to remember that the Saints team is in rebuild mode, not reload mode, as they've been under Sean Payton in the past. But I'm going to say that 9 picks is a very good start, and there was nothing, guys, more reassuring to me than the fact that Kellen Moore and Brandon Staley did not do as previous regimes had done and moved up in the draft to chase after some coveted player. I think staying put and drafting 9 players, and you notice I didn't mention Mickey Loomis in that previous sentence because, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think this draft bears his stamp even in the remotest manner. I think this was a Kellen Moore, Brandon Staley draft through and through.
That ain't, I mean, Mickey Loomis got his hand in there, believe you me.
And Jeff Ireland's got a big hand
in
there.
Jeff Ireland, Mickey Loomis, and them they trust.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if you want to hear that as a Saints fan.
But it's reality.
But you get to a certain point where you realize, not then, you know, no one likes to say, well, we just rebuilding. We got to start from scratch. But Kellen Moore, the youngest quarterback in the NFL, I mean, the youngest head coach in the NFL, is that, no. I'll tell you what, Kellen Moore really respects Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland. And so I think this is a scenario where we're at right now as a team. No, we need those picks. We need those players to contribute. So, no, whether you want to believe that or not, I'm just telling you, Mickey's way more flexible than you think. And no, we got to see what's going to happen. And like Mickey even said, I don't know, Big John, if you'd be approved this, is that if when you look at it, if Derek Carr is healthy, Mickey Loomis said he's starting the beginning of the season, would you challenge that? And Kellen Moore wouldn't challenge that.
No.
Kellen Moore is on board with that, because if you're trying to win now, to get off to a fast start in September, that now you got to be healthy. It's if.
But that's a big if.
If Derek Carr is healthy, he's going to be the guy. Now, if he's not healthy, he's not going to be the guy. They're going to let him compete. Whoever wins the competition, OTAs, minicamp, training camp, and then that's going to be the week one starter.
Big John, here's the other thing. The one guy you can put on Kellen Moore, they didn't pick him unless they got Kellen Moore's stamp of approval, and that's Tyler Shuck.
Oh, without a doubt.
That is a Kellen Moore stamp. That's the guy that I think can help me win and help me win now or for the next couple years. I think maybe that's where they gave him the kind of carte blanche to say, okay, you see what's available. Tell us who you like the best.
And Kellen Moore would not have a problem if Derek Carr is healthy to be the quarterback this year and then Shuck the quarterback in 2026. You know, because Derek Carr ain't no long-term. Now, you think because of the contract and all what's going to come about and the salary cap implications and all there. But, so Derek Carr might want to move on, whatever that might be. But if Derek Carr is the guy, and I'm not saying Shuck won't eventually play, but right now they're thinking that Shuck would probably have a better opportunity to be the quarterback instead of Spencer Rattler. But you got to let him compete. Let him compete, and the best man wins.
Well, here's my deal. If they thought Spencer was the guy, why use a second-round pick
exactly,
on Shuck?
Exactly.
You got to kind of figure it out. If they thought that Rattler was the guy, they wouldn't have used a second-round pick on Tyler Shuck.
But, yeah, but you can miss. And the thing is, so let's say Derek Carr can't play. Shuck or Spencer Rattler, damn it, we won 5 games again. Okay, that might be, we're still picking in the top 10. You pick another damn quarterback. You have to keep but the thing is with Arch Manning, you know.
Archie ain't going to be there. Archie going to spend 2 years at Texas.
You know, we're going to ask Archie that. We're going to get him on the air. Hopefully he's listening so he can prepare to make a statement. But I think that Arch, like his uncles.
Like his two uncles.
Peyton and Eli stayed and developed and might not be available until 2027. Now, think about this. Arch Manning, we think he's going to be awesome, right? At University of Texas have opportunity. Well, the guy he didn't beat out got drafted in the seventh round. So I don't know. The look of yours. I mean, that's not an opinion. Isn't that what just happened? I mean, and he was a five-star.
The number one rated player in the country when he came out of high school.
Well, that was yours, a five-star, right, Mike?
Guy.
And then, you know, Arch don't want to rock the boat. He's going to wait for his opportunity and all that. But Mike has even told me this. In the postseason, for Texas to have a chance, they should have put Arch in there instead of yours.
I said that then. I'll say it today. I think that they would have been there and played Ohio State and had that shot to beat them if Arch was playing instead of yours. That's just my opinion.
No, NFL's humbling. Look at yours. You think when he was a hot commodity, oh, I'm five-star, I can go wherever I want, name, image, and likeness and all that. Oh, and then when I go to the NFL, I'll be drafted in the seventh round. There's no way in hell his family. Did you see his family? They're showing them now. They film everything. I would never want the damn camera. And all that. They're showing his whole family. It looks like they had a death in the family. Oh, like, oh, we got to wait till the seventh round. I'm going to the Dolphins. Okay, I think don't. He's probably hoping Tua gets another concussion so he can play.
Here's my deal. If I'd have been him, I'd have left Texas and went to another school. He could have made more money on NIL going somewhere else than he could have played in the NFL this year.
So it just shows you how it changes year to year.
We'll be back to finish it up here on Second Guess in the first hour right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here at hour number one of Sports Talk, Second Guess right here from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. One of the things Big John wanted to say was about a draft grade. No, I'm not doing that. Until I see him out on the football field, I get offered stuff every year. Give us a draft grade. No, man, I'm not doing that. First of all, how can you grade a draft when you've never seen him put on a professional uniform? But, you know, in some gigs, they've kind of forced them to give that draft grade out. When I was driving here, I heard Kuiper was doing his draft grade.
Well, his draft grade, he had Shadur going and to the Saints at number 9.
We'll
come on, and he was so defensive about that.